Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10, very familiar verse. We're going to start here and we're going to give you a lot of scripture. Let's stand together for the reading of this one verse. Many of you could quote it. I know I certainly could. But I'll read it instead. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Lord, help us. Lord, as we talk about some things that are fast evaporating from, Lord, the culture here in the United States of America. However, thank God, there's always a remnant, and there's, I think, especially in grassroots America, thank God, there's still some of these character traits that used to be just as common as could be in our country. And so, Lord, as we kind of shift over our Sunday night series into Sunday and Wednesday for a while, I pray that you'll bless it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I decided to count earlier this week to see where I was on the 40 biggest issues of the past 40 years. I've completed 25 of the 40 issues, which means I have how much left? 15. Then I counted the number of Sunday nights that I have between here and the end of the year and realized this was going to be difficult to do, so I looked at my calendar and rearranged some things. I really would like to complete that this year, and so I'm going to take some Wednesdays for a while and do double duty because I would really like to get this series done. I hate starting something, not getting it complete, so we want to get all of it. And we'll spend some of the Wednesday nights talking about some of the things on the lists that has to do more with character. And certainly we've seen a demise in the, tonight we're going to preach on the demise of the work ethic, if we've seen a lot of things in the last 40 years, and we've seen, like I said, not everything that we've taught on has been negative, because there has been some remarkable things happen in the areas of worldwide missions. We spoke about Christian education and what God has done with that in the last 40 years. But unfortunately, folks, a lot of the things that we teach on are problem areas because the world is not getting better. I don't know if you noticed. And of course, God prophesied that. It's not going to wax better and better. It's going to wax worse and worse. It's what we're facing. It's the reality of it. We don't like it. We wish it wasn't that way. But at the same time, I think also it does not mean that we have to surrender to it. Because the world is going a certain direction does not mean that the church ought to follow it. And so we are talking about these issues and, of course, asking the Lord to help us to examine our own hearts and to see that we guard against going the way that the world goes. But if you talk to anyone, and I'm not going to go long into this because I actually want to spend more time on teaching on the rewards of diligence than the warnings against slothfulness, although we'll hit some of that. It seems like hard work's gone out of style. It seems like as you talk to men who are in the hiring business owners, one of the most difficult things they're facing is just finding young men, young ladies that will work. I heard something the other day, and I don't, maybe I shouldn't do this, but I heard three men in this church mention the same young man, so I'm going to mention him. Mr. Lucas Abel, three of our men in the last several months has used him in just needing extra help working. And Lucas, it was done my heart good to hear three, where's he at? To hear from three different men in our church. That commented to me about what a good worker you are and how they were pleased to use you and would definitely want to use you again. And let me just say this, that's the reputation you want. That's the reputation you want, gentlemen. I'm going to tell you, one of the things you want to, you ought to run from it. You ought to do everything in your power to prevent it. Don't build a reputation of being lazy. Don't build a reputation of not being a good worker. I'm going to tell you something. That'll follow you in life. And so the Bible says even a child is known by his doings. And so you start that building that reputation young. It doesn't mean that if you have some tendencies towards laziness that you can't fix them. I mean, you know, that's one of the reasons the Bible gives it, not just to give condemnation, but to allow us to recognize the tendencies and correct those things in our life. And there's many other young men in the church, no doubt I could mention. That's why I always hesitate to mention one. But it's just interesting that his name came up three times. I said to Brother Abel and Mrs. Abel, God bless you, because you know what? That doesn't happen by accident. And every parent in this room that's working hard to build that in there, listen, every parent after this message, I hope that you'll rededicate yourself to that idea. Because it's very, very important that you learn to work. Young men, young ladies, it makes no difference. This is not a young man's message. One of the attributes of biblical femininity and one of the attributes of biblical masculinity are the same when it comes to work. And they're both taught in the Bible. Both of them earned a chapter in our books. And it's not for one gender and not the other. Some of the hardest working people that I know in the world are ladies, are young ladies. And again, you want a reputation of that. You want a reputation. Young lady, you want to have a miserable life, marry a lazy guy. And guys, if you want to have a miserable life, marry a lazy woman. I mean it. You're not going to have much fun. And so let's talk about this. And again, it is what we're seeing. It is shameful. It is horrible what's happening in our culture. But at the same time, let me just give you a little ray of hope and a little positive note here. You know, as the world continues as a whole to get lazier, if you do exercise diligence, if you develop that character in your life, it just makes you stand out all that much more. I mean, think about that, the opportunities it gives those of us that are Bible-believing Christians. And so if we go to the Word of God and say, okay, hey, you know what? If I seek out the principles of diligence and incorporate them into my life and build that area of character in my life, then I'm going to tell you what, it's going to open up great opportunities for me in the future, because it's hard to find men or ladies that will work. And I didn't do this as far as part of the study, but I just glanced at some of the verses, and it was a matter of, you know, how much time do we take. But it's interesting how much Paul talks about the work of the ministry and laboring in the ministry. And you know what? One of the things that developing, allowing the demise of the work ethic has, one of the areas that's really hurt is the church. Because folks, you know, you bus captains, remember when you first got a bus route, man alive, hey, I'm a bus captain. You know what? You found out after a while what it is? It's work. You know, that's why Jesus said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he'd send forth, big shots, flash in the pans, okay, pretty boys. No, I didn't ask for any of that. You know what he said, you pray the Lord of the harvest, he'll send forth laborers into his harvest. Sunday school teachers, you know, it is a privilege. It's an honor to teach class. But you know what you figure out after a couple months? It's just work. It's work during the week getting ready. It's work getting your class ready. It's work doing your best. It's work while you're in there. Children's church workers, come on now. Children's church workers, yeah, you know why? It's work. Master club workers, you know why we call them that? It's work. And so as we've had a culture that's had a tendency towards laziness, an aversion towards anything that requires much effort, the problem is it affects the house of God. It affects the effectiveness of the ministry. Soul winning is work. I mean, it's just work. If you boil it right down, it's fun, it's blessing, it's great. But if you're going to do it, and you're going to do it consistently, you know what you're going to find out? You know, a lot of days are hot. And a lot of days are cold. And you know what? If you're going to do it consistently, you just go out there and work. And so this touches so many areas of our lives. I'm going to get quickly into it. I want to talk a lot about diligence, and we'll get back to this main verse, this theme verse, in just a second. The definition of diligence is very interesting. If you go back into the Hebrew, it talks about appointed. Now think about this. The word diligence comes from the idea of a pointed object. I like the way this is worded. A pointed object used to bestir self. A pointed object used to bestir self. I'm thinking about Bible college. I'm thinking about trying to stay awake in class. I'm thinking about taking a pencil and giving myself lead poisoning by bestirring myself to stay awake so that I wouldn't fall out of my chair during class. A sharp point to wound, to make alert. I like this. Determined, eager, alert, focused, to think, to plan, to attack, or to work with optimum efficiency. And if you develop that in your life,
a determined eagerness, an alertness, a focus, the ability to think, to plan, to attack, to work with optimum efficiency. If you are the young man or the young lady that when given a task can size it up, figure it out how to do it quickly, efficiently, and correctly, and somebody can just hand you projects and you'll do that and you'll get it done, I'm going to tell you something you will never want for an opportunity. You will never want for work, because people are looking for that everywhere, both in the work of the Lord and also in the workplace. And so that's the goal, is for us to be diligent. As we see the idea of slothfulness taught throughout the book of Proverbs, usually slothfulness is on one side of the coin and you flip it over and the word diligence is on the other. That's the two things that are being compared throughout the book of Proverbs. And so you really can't study one without the other. The goal, of course, is to develop diligence. The Webster's 1828 dictionary, steady in application to business, constant effort to accomplish what is undertaken, exertion of body or mind without unnecessary delay or sloth, to give due attention, industrious. That's a great definition. That tells you what diligence is. This is supposed to have actually been posted in a newspaper. Need job. I am sloppy, half-hearted, distracted, disinterested. I am a sloppy, half-hearted, distracted, disinterested, lazy man who is seldom on time, frequently calls in sick, and only does half a job when I do show up. If interested, call 555-1212 anytime afternoon, but not in the evenings while I'm watching TV. I don't know if somebody actually ever posted that or not, but there's a lot of people, if it was written the truth about them, that would be their working biography. Now, warnings against slothfulness. God warns us against slothfulness or laziness in the Bible, and all through the Proverbs. Let me just read them to you, because if we get into this study, we'll never get to the diligence. The way of the slothful man is a hedge of thorns. Think about that. The way of the slothful man is as an hedge of thorns. Those of you that frequent the woods and you like to go out in the woods, let me tell you, you'll get into some patches of the woods where you look at what's up ahead and there's basically a impenetrable. There's this real thick bunch of briars, and you got to make a choice. Are you going to try to go through them, or are you going to go around them? Now, let me say, after a few, if you've spent any time in the woods very long, you will go around them, because it's senseless to try to go through them. And the way of the slothful man is as an hedge of thorns. It doesn't make, watch this, let me help you. It doesn't make for a good life to be lazy. It makes for a miserable life to be lazy. You may think you're miserable working, but let me promise you this. If you choose to spend your life trying not to work, you're going to be more miserable than any person that takes the time to develop diligence. A slothful man, these verses are always amusing to me, a slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. Now, if you think about the colorful commentary in Proverbs concerning the slothful man, it's amusing. You picture this. Here's a slothful man who's, the Bible says it again down here, the slothful, Proverbs 26:15, the slothful hideth his hand in his bosom, it grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. So what is it saying? It means he's eating, and so he takes a bite, and then he puts it down, and he puts his hand in his bosom, and he sits there, and he stares at it, and he wants a bite, and he's still hungry, but he hates to have to move his hand and exert the effort to actually pick it up. And God, in his very colorful way, shows us that that is the case with lazy people. Opportunity is right there. What you want is right there. But you're going to have to exert yourself to reach it and get it and move it to you. And some people will sit there and stare at it and want it and desire it. That's why Proverbs 21:25 says, the desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. He wants this, he wants that. He's usually envious and jealous of other people that do have it, but he won't exert himself to do what they've done to get it. And so what do? They vote in a man like Obama that will take it from the people that did work for it and give it to them for nothing. Thank you very much. That was free. Here's another two verses that never cease to just bring a smile to my face. Proverbs 22:13. The slothful man saith, there is a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets.
In Proverbs 26:13, almost word for word, the slothful man saying, there's a lion in the way, a lion is in the streets.
And what is that talking about? It's talking about that a lazy man will come up with almost any excuse in the world to keep from leaving his house and actually going outside and trying to do something and going out and looking for a job or exerting himself. He will come out with some of the most outlandish excuses of why he can't do what other people can do. Now listen to me, folks. I'm going to help you. Don't get mad at the preacher. This is the Word of God, and it will help you if you'll let it help you. You can spend your life making excuses, or you can spend your life rolling your sleeves up, setting your excuses aside, asking God for help and strength, and going out and doing what you need to do. And there's many a man in this room that has had. I mentioned Brother Dennis Scales from time to time, and I'm going to tell you something. I'm honored to be a fellow church member with him. If any a man has had to overcome physical problems in his life and was working long past the time that he should have ever been working, contracted polio, having reoccurring symptoms of it now, and just a hard worker. There's people that don't have that much wrong with them compared to this much that's been wrong with Dennis Scales, and yet for all those years, every single day he got up and slapped those braces on his leg and stumbled out to his vehicle and went to work. And what I'm saying is you can make excuses or you can go out and make a living. Okay, and you've got to decide after a while what you're going to do. Okay, you can come up with some outlandish, and you know what? Can you imagine somebody saying, if there's a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets, and they look at you as if they want you and expect you to believe this. Well, look out the window. There's a lot of people walking up and down the street. They're going to work. Nobody's getting eaten. But it's amazing what we can conjure up in our mind when we just decide we don't want to do what we ought to do. Go to the ant, the Bible says, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Here's something that you need to understand as a man and as a young lady. As vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him. Now, vinegar to the teeth. I mean, go get a glass of vinegar and decide you're going to gargle with it when you get home. You'll find out real quick it's not pleasant. Smoke to the eyes. Those of you, you know, been at a wiener roast and the wind shifts. And next thing you know, man, you're doing everything you can to get away from that spot because here comes the smoke. Well, you know what? What folks don't understand is to a hardworking man, to be in the presence of somebody on the job that's a lazy man, it's as irritating as drinking vinegar or having smoke in your eyes. There's nothing in the world that probably gets my blood pressure up quicker than in my years of being out in the workaday world and working, and whether it's work out there or work for the Lord, of trying to get a job done and having somebody that refuses to just dig in and do their part. You know, gentlemen, how irritating that is. And don't get mad at people for being irritated at you. Get mad at yourself for not having that area of your character developed, and get with it and get busy and step in and do the job. Don't sit and watch while other people work. Jump in and work. Okay? That's just what you do. Do what you can. And so the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. And here's the sad one, the saddest verse maybe of all of them. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. And I can stand up here and preach this, and if you're determined that you're going to be a sluggard and slothful and you got your excuses, I could preach this message every week for 52 weeks and it's not going to move you an inch. I could get seven other preachers to surround you and we could preach it. But you know what? If you are just a determined, lazy person, you are wiser in your own conceit. You're always going to have a reason. You're always going to have an excuse. Everybody's wrong. Nobody's compassionate. Nobody understands. You can spend your whole life doing that, or you can look in the mirror and say, hey, you know what? I got a problem. There's an area of my character that didn't get properly developed, and I'm not going to spend the rest of my life making excuses for it. Other men are working. I can work. And I can find a way. And with God's help, preacher, I just can't. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Okay? And so the warnings against slothfulness. Now, I'd had you turn here because I believe of all the verses in the Bible, I'm going to just say this. I believe Ecclesiastes 9:10 is the greatest verse in the Bible on diligence, even though it doesn't mention or have the word actually in it, diligent. doesn't actually mention that specific word. If you want to get an idea of a handle of what it means to be diligent, Ecclesiastes 9:10 is the verse. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whether thou goest. Now here is I think, every person who is diligent, who develops this in here, this is kind of your theme verse. You get this. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whether thou goest. I break this down this way, and when I preach this verse, and I've preached it this way here, I like breaking this down in little small segments. Greatest verse in the Bible on diligence, whatsoever. Remember this, folks, there is no unimportant jobs. There is no unimportant job. Well, on this job's important, so I'm going to do my best, but this job is not so big, that big, so I'll do half. No, whatsoever. What if you learn to do the small, quote-unquote, small jobs, if there is such a thing as a small job, and I'm not sure there is, because most of the things that people consider small, if they're not done properly, they end up derailing the bigger picture. And so you may be given a job that you don't think is all that important, but if you do a half a job, you not doing your job right affects this person, and it affects this person, and it affects this person pretty soon. The big picture is affected. And so you just learn that whatever job you're assigned, do it with all your might. So whatsoever, there is no unimportant job. Whatsoever thy hand, here's another great idea when it comes to diligence. If you take that, look at that, those two words, thy hand, whatsoever, there is no unimportant jobs. Thy hand, here it is, mind your own business. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. So if I've been given a job, and that's what my hand is supposed to do, that's where my focus is supposed to be. You know, a lot of folks are not doing, they never do due diligence on a job that they're doing because they're always looking around trying to decide whether they think everybody else is doing their job the way they should be doing. You know, listen, I can't control everybody else. And if you do that very long, it'll drive you crazy. So what I do is I put my hand to what God's given me to do, and I want to put my focus there, and I'm not trying to micromanage everybody else in the world. You know, I'm not the preacher that's on a phone talking with another preacher about, if you pastored such and such a church, how would you handle that? I don't care. I don't know. I don't even think about it because I don't pastor that church. That's not in my hand. Okay, I want to take what God's given me to do, and I want to focus on, well, what do you think about so-and-so? What kind of job do you think? I don't know. I don't think a lot about that. I don't worry about that. What do you think the state of fundamentalism? I don't know. I'm just concerned about the state of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. That's what God's given me to do. And so I'm not always running around trying to judge everybody else's job and think about how I would do it and wish for this opportunity. If you do that, you're spending a lot of time where you're not focused on what your hand has been given to do. One of the most important things that you can develop in the developing of diligence is this. You get laser focused on what God has given you to do, what your job is, and you do it with all your might, and don't worry about everybody else around you. If you weren't put in charge of everybody, if you haven't been put in charge of everybody else, then don't worry about everybody else. Just do your job, okay? Just do your job. Whatsoever thy hand, mind your, whatsoever, there's no unimportant jobs. Thy hand, mind your own business, findeth to do. Don't you like that little phrase? Findeth to do. Here you go. Here's a thought. Stay busy on purpose. Amen. Stay busy on purpose. Findeth to do. Doesn't mean someone had to find you to do something. It means you found something to do. Happiest people in the world are busy people. Happiest, oh, preacher, I'll tell you what, I'd be so happy if I just, man, if I could just sit on the couch. Yeah, and you know what, for about a day or two, it'd probably be kind of fun, but I'm going to tell you after that, you know, after a while, it's just, you go stir crazy, you start going stir crazy. I was talking to a man the other day, and I asked about his wife, and he said her health hasn't been real good, and he said she's actually been restricted to the couch, to her bed, or to the couch, or to the bathroom. Those are the three places she can go, and it's probably going to be that way for about 6 weeks. And I told him, I actually said what I just said to you. I said, you know, that sounds good for about a day. After that, I'd go nuts. And he said, that's what's going on with her. She's going crazy. Now, folks, listen to me. The happiest people in the world are people that are busy. And you ought to just go out of your way to find something to do. and find something to invest in, and find something that's purposeful and helpful and brings glory to God. Just listen, stay busy. Too much idle time is not a good thing in anybody's life. Do it with all thy might. Always do your best. Always do your best. So there are no unimportant jobs. Mind your own business. Stay busy on purpose. Always do your best. And then it ends by saying this, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whether thou goest. Cherish every day. Listen, you know what? Get up in the morning. Aren't these fall mornings beautiful? Oh, my goodness sakes. And you know what? If God allows you to get up tomorrow morning and put your feet on the ground and you can stand up and move around and you have an opportunity to go out and you have the strength and health to be able to operate, you know what? You ought to cherish that day. You ought to cherish that day. Pray for Mrs. Fulkerson. I think we sent it on the prayer chain, but she took a fall and gashed her arm real bad, and she's banged up, bruised up. I want to thank Sister Dolores Clay. She's gone over and really tended to her and helped her quite a bit. Me and Cheryl went over. When did we go? Yesterday? Tuesday? And we took her lunch. But as we took her lunch, she was making lunch. That's the only time in my life where I went to take somebody lunch and they fed me. It was fantastic, man. I'm going to tell you something. That's never happened before, but we brought her a crock pot full of food. She was making potato soup, had a bunch, and she twisted my arm so hard it hurt. I finally just had to say, please stop. All right, I'll eat a bowl of soup, you know, and got a chance. But, you know, folks, you go to visit some of our folks that can't do. And let me tell you something. If you can do, do. If you can do, do. Okay. Thank God. If you've got the health to do something, just get up and do it. Don't gripe about it. Do it. Because that may come to all of us where we have several years sitting on a couch looking out the window wishing we could do. And so if you can, then do. Okay. And cherish every day. Cherish every day. Now, let me talk to you quickly. And we've got 12 minutes and we'll do it in that time. I want to spend some time on the rewards of diligence. You know, I can warn against slothfulness. We can condemn that and talk about it. But let me just say this. God offers great reward if you develop this character trait in your life. I'm going to have you go over to Proverbs chapter number 10. Let's look at a few verses. I'll have you turn to maybe 3-4 verses. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 4. Let's just look at some of the rewards of learning to be diligent. If you become that young person, if you become that young adult, if you just decide, you know what, I'm not going to shirk work, I'm going to look for opportunities, I'm going to find things to do, I'm going to be busy, I'm going to give a first-rate effort in everything that I do, I'm going to build a reputation of diligence, I'm going to be active and busy and careful with what God gives me, there's rewards that come with that. Proverbs 10 verse 4, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Let me just say this. We can say that word rich is speaking about finances, and I think you could certainly say that diligence absolutely does and always has increased your financial opportunities. But I want to expand that word rich, because many times in the book of Proverbs, folks, when it's talking about rich, it's just not talking about money in the bank. Most of the time, it's talking about a richness of life. And your life will be richer for being diligent. You know what? There's nobody in the world that's ever sat back, went and done a job, did a halfway job, quit and didn't get it finished, and then stepped back and went like that and had any feeling of satisfaction in their heart and in their life. It just doesn't happen. But when you're given a job and you, without any fanfare and without anybody knowing, give your entire best to it and you give everything you've got, and you complete it to the best of your ability, and something that was a mess or something that was disorganized or something that was awry now all of a sudden works. It's better. There's something that is given to you as a reward that God gives you on the inside. And it doesn't matter if nobody in the world seen it. You can step back in the presence of God and you are richer as a person because you know that you did in God's sight the job to the best of your ability. And so one of the rewards of diligence is that your life will be richer for being diligent. We're close to Proverbs chapter 12. Go over there. We'll look at two verses there. First of all, verse number 24. the rewards of diligence. Your life will be richer for being diligent. Proverbs 12:24, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Your opportunities will increase if you're diligent. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule. Now remember what I told you about whatsoever thy hand findeth to do it with thy might? So I don't care if you're given a job and there's 10 other guys there and the boss is giving you your job. Don't worry about what they're doing, what they're not doing, how they're doing it. Do what you're supposed to do. And let me tell you something. If you do that every day, pretty soon you'll be over those 10 other guys supervising them. Because you know what? Every single boss in the world is looking for that employee that he can trust with responsibility that's going to help make his life easier. And if he has to micromanage everything that you're doing and stand there and watch you half the time and go back and redo what you're doing, then you know what? Why in the world would he ever put you over other men to make sure that they're doing it right? And so one of the things that is a natural advantage to developing the character trait of diligence in your life is that the Bible says the diligent shall bear rule. A similar verse, I'll just read it to you in Proverbs 22:29. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. And opportunities, your opportunities will increase if you are diligent. There in Proverbs chapter 12, look at verse 27. Notice this. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is what? Precious. Now, you know what I'm going to say here, but your possessions will be appreciated more if you are diligent. You know what? Let me just say this, and there's nothing racist about this, but years ago, when I first moved to Chicago, in that area, we were driving up Chicago, there used to be, you remember the Cabrini Green buildings that were along the river there? These big, giant high-rises that they housed welfare folks in there. And I'm going to tell you what, you didn't want to be in there at night. They were one of the scariest areas you've ever been. Well, they decided that what the problem was is that they had put them in these high rises, and they didn't take care of them. They tore everything up, and windows were missing. I mean, anything that can be stolen is gone, and everything that can be broke is broken. And they finally said, well, the problem is, if we will build them nicer things out in the suburbs where they don't feel like that they're in these high-rise ghetto-type situations. So that was the plan. There was a 25-year plan to pour millions and millions and millions of dollars of shutting down Cabrini Green and building in various areas around Chicago these real nice, I mean, something like, you know, that any of us would be glad to live in and drive in, and duplexes and trees and grass and, you know. And so they took all of these people and they moved them into those. And you know what happened within 6 months? Every single one of those places were trashed and tore up, and everything that could be broken was broken. Everything that could be stolen was stolen. You know why, folks? Listen to me. Watch this. You know what I'm going to say. If you didn't earn it, you don't appreciate it. If you didn't earn it, you don't appreciate it. You know, every one of us growing up, probably in some ways, maybe tried to talk our dad into buying us a car. The smart dads just laughed and said, huh, you want a car, right? Yeah, okay. Well, let me tell you how you get one. The foolish ones went out and bought them a vehicle that they didn't put one bit of effort into. You can get mad at me if you want to, and I don't know who's done what with your kids, so don't throw anything at me. I don't know what you've done, what you haven't done. But I promise you this, that kid didn't pay for those tires. He's probably burning a lot more rubber than if he had paid for them. Okay? And if he had to work hours and hours and hours, I mean, you spend an entire summer putting hot roof on roofs and earn the money like the money that I accumulated by my first car. Let me tell you something. You look at everything in hours on a roof. You don't think of how much money it costs you. You think of how much agony it costs you. And it's just true. Young men, if somebody gives you something, that's a blessing. You ought to take care of it if somebody gave you something, because out of just appreciation that they gave it, because it's a gift from them, especially if it's somebody you love. But the honest truth is, in life, you're not going to really appreciate much of anything that you don't have to earn yourself. There's just going to be a higher appreciation for it. And so the Bible says this, the slothful man roasteth not that which he took in honey, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. If you earn it, it will be more precious to you. Proverbs 13 and verse number 4 will be our last verse. Proverbs 13 and verse number 4. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Your mind, and by the way, that's talking about your soul, not your body. See what it says there? But the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. You know, the soul, when we talk about the soul, we're talking about your mind and your heart. Your mind and your heart. I say the soul is a combination of the mind, heart, and will. But it's talking about your state of mind, and it's talking about the state of your heart. When the Bible uses the word fat, it's talking about healthy. And there's something to that. I don't want to stop and do a commercial on this, but I'm going to tell you something. This culture has become so enamored with this skin and bones. You know what? It's ridiculous. Yeah. Girls, don't get caught up in that stuff. Some of that stuff has caused young ladies to develop issues, health issues, and you know, I've got to look like a stick figure. You know, that's baloney. The honest truth is, you're not healthy. You're just as much unhealthy, underweight, maybe more than you are a little overweight. That's just the truth. I'm trying to help some of you. Don't get caught up in trying to compare yourself to everybody on the front of every silly magazine that's out there. I'm serious about that. I've watched young ladies, you're going to pay health consequences way down the road because you're so worried about this stuff that you're not eating healthy. And I'm not talking about just, you know, I don't want you to go home and eat 4 cases of Twinkies tonight. That's not what I'm talking about. But I am, although that is a food group, amen. But really take to heart what I say there, because I'm going to tell you there are ladies now as adults that are paying long-term health consequences because they were so worried about what everybody thought and so trying to fit in with this unrealistic idea the culture's put out there about what beauty is. That they've hurt their bodies. And your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. And you know what? You ought to put in it the proper fuel. You ought to put in it the proper food, and you ought to eat it. So anyway, I don't know if that helped anybody or just caused more problems. I don't know. But anyway, when the Bible's talking about the word fat, it's talking about healthy. Listen, here's the point. Your soul, the soul of the diligent, shall be made healthy. Your mind is healthier when you're diligent. Your heart is healthier when you're diligent. You know what? Because there is something about getting up every day and having something to do and going out there and doing it to the best of your ability and working hard. And when you punch out, you know something? You don't have 1 second guilt about anything. They don't owe you anything. You gave above and beyond everything you got paid that day. That company's better for having you. That company's stronger for having you. You're not a liability. You're a blessing. And there's something about getting up in the morning and going off to work and doing the very best you can and coming home at night. And yes, you're tired, but I'm going to tell you something. Your mind feels good and your heart feels good, even if your back hurts a little bit. Because you know what? God created us. Work is not a part of the curse. God gave Adam responsibilities in the garden before they ever sinned. He said, I'm putting you here to dress it and to keep it. All right. So he had work responsibilities before that. It changed the fact that he had to work by the sweat of his brows and he had to fight the thorns and the thistles that now were a part of the curse. There was going to be more resistance. It was going to be harder. Sin makes everything harder, even work. But work is not a curse. Work's a blessing. To have the health to go to work, that's a blessing. Praise God. I mean, think about it. You know, you may not always have that. Enjoy it. Enjoy work. Yeah, enjoy it. Get up. Go to work. Be glad that God's given you the strength and the opportunity and the ability to do what you've got to do. Because the honest truth is, any of us that have too much free time in our hands, you know what? It's not a good thing for our heart and it's not a good thing for our mind. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, help us, Lord, as we have addressed, Lord, a concern, something we've certainly seen spiral downward in the last 40 years. And I would pray, Lord, that as Christians we would be ready and willing and excited to embrace the principles and precepts of the Bible. Thank you for all of the rewards that you've attached to this idea of diligence. I pray, Lord, if there's a young man or a young lady or an adult for that matter that's through the teaching of the Bible and reading the Bible has detected that there are tendencies towards slothfulness, Lord, that we would treat that as sin in our life, that we would repent of that and change that and ask you, dear God, to give us the strength to be able to do that. And so I pray, Lord, that you would please, dear God, use this study for our benefit, we pray in Jesus' name.